This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. At the Ackland Art Museum in Chapel Hill right now, there's a pile of candy that once weighed 175 pounds. Unlike most artworks, visitors can touch this and they can eat it and go about their way. But you should know that if you take the candy, you've also participated in a work of art. Felix Gonzalez Torres' untitled work is a tribute to his partner who died of AIDS. His partner weighed 175 pounds when he contracted the disease. The dwindling pile of candy represents his lover's continuing weight loss as AIDS progressed. Gonzalez Torres' piece is just one of the works that makes up the More Love exhibit on view at the Ackland through the end of March. Curator Claire Schneider is with me, as is Amanda Hughes. She is with the museum as well. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
Hello.
Claire, tell me about, let's start with the candy artwork. It is called Untitled, Ross in L.A., the artist Felix Gonzalez Torres. Tell us about this work and why to include it.
It's a really key work, and Felix Gonzalez Torres is a key artist who's been thinking about love in this period of the last 25 years. He unfortunately himself died of AIDS in 1996, but during his lifetime and even now, he's really become a symbolic figure of artists who are interacting with people, bringing the viewer into the conversation. And this piece works on so many levels. It's called Untitled, Ross in L.A. for a couple of reasons. It's about the story you just explained, his really own personal story. But there's a part that's untitled that invites you to take this piece of candy. And what do you think about? Do you have a grandmother who might have been sick recently? My own dog died recently, and I saw him dwindle and lose weight. So it purposely invites you to participate, too.
And it's a conversation, as you mentioned, that includes that really embraces love and politics as issues that need to be spoken about in the same conversation. Tell me more about that and kind of what's behind this exhibit, Claire.
Well, interestingly, while love is such a universal topic that we all can relate to, in kind of serious art circles and intellectual circles, it's almost been a topic that we're afraid to talk about because we've been taught about detachment and criticism. But, you know, leaders who want to bring people together throughout time, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, have often gone back to this idea. And I think there's a time of strife now that's been going on, the gun violence we've been hearing about, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's so many things that are always coming up, even the conflicted politics. How can we kind of find a way to come together again? And I think focusing on love and seeing what contemporary artists working today, how are they thinking about it now, is what this exhibition wants to focus on.
And Amanda Hughes, seeing how that plays out must be interesting in a work like Untitled, Ross in L.A. As you watch people walk up to that mound of candy and understand what the art represents, What happens?
Oh, it's so moving to see people. On the one hand, I think they're very attracted to it. It's quite beautiful. These glistening wrappers, there's something very, forgive the word, but seductive, visually seductive about it. And then they read that, yes, they can take one, and they move toward it, and they take one. And I think as they unwrap, there's this guilty pleasure of being in a museum and eating. But there's also something deeply moving about participating in this diminishment and watching the pile get smaller.
And Claire, I suppose that's what you're talking about, love as participation, love as integration with the other, not as some kind of sappy, you know, Valentine's Day project, becomes the thing that we've, A, failed to talk about, and perhaps something that could be quite powerful. Is that right, Claire?
Absolutely. I think all of the artists, you know, there's 33 artists in the project. In different ways, they're finding a way to make a political statement by coming together with someone else. You know, another artist, Katarina Seda, she worked for a year to bring 315 people in a small town in the Czech Republic to follow the same schedule for a day. And they thought she was a little bit crazy to come up with this game, but they thought there was nothing in their town that was important. But by following this kind of rules or game, they kind of saw each other in a new way in their own experience.
Oh, Claire. So, just to interrupt, Claire, I think you'd love it. I was in the gallery just the other day, and a family was there, a multi-generational family, so grandmother type and then younger people. And they were reading it, and they were so moved. And finally, the grandmother said, maybe we should do this at the next family gathering. And I kind of loved that. I thought they wanted to play the game and be part of it.
Well, it also reminds me a little bit of Emily Jassir's work that's on display here. Maybe you can describe it for us and talk about that, again, as participation and sort of crossing boundaries of getting involved in things. Talk about Emily Jassir. Claire?
Yes. So she is an artist who lives around the Mediterranean now, but she's originally from Palestine, and she is Palestinian. And so she created an artwork because for two special years, 2001 and 2013, she could use her American passport to go back to these parts of Palestine that other Palestinians couldn't go back to. And she did all of the – so she asked them, what could I do for you in Palestine? And so she went – and it was very simple things. Go have a date with this woman who I've only talked to on the phone. Go even pay my phone bill that I have to pay in this other part of town I can't go to. Go play soccer with the first person you come to. Go eat a special food in a restaurant that I can't have anymore. And these were people who lived really close. You know, they were just maybe a few miles away, and people all over the world who were part of this diaspora. So she kind of asked these to them and physically was able to cross these boundaries for them.
And how is it displayed? What do we see when we go through the
museum? What you see when you come to the museum, you see those requests, what they ask for, and you see her documentation of actually doing it. And then you hear often some notes or stories about what it was like when she actually went there. You know, someone asked to go look at this part of town and look at this neighborhood I loved. And she says it looked like the war because there were still tents up. Mm. People were living in tents or... how she tried to find someone's family and that they were orange, you know, go see my favorite fruit trees
and report back. And this is the kind of love we're talking about, this sense of radical relationship that points to something unique in humans, this magic of being able to feel what the other has felt. Go see this place mm-hmm. for me, and that will bring me some kind of pleasure, kind of magic, and certainly fundamentally human. But I guess only if we're in relationship.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the exhibition really asks us to consider love as more than feeling, and in fact, love as activity and engagement.
Yeah, and Claire, you were about to say something. But that's okay.
I would say this. It's like it's very political. It's about action. And so it's a whole spectrum of what that can mean. From the very simple, truly, you can also come to the museum and have someone, an Israeli artist who has, I think, over 100 people, got them to sing lullabies it ends up being you, the viewer. And there are people at the Jewish Museum in Jerusalem. And so it's six different languages, everyone from the European curators to the Arabs who are maybe in the cleaning crew to museum visitors. So some of it's very simple kind of primal experiences that we all have, but that can also be very political too. So it's a whole range.
Yoko Ono has a work, Time to Tell Your Love. It very much depends on the museum goer. It's asking them to show their love and be photographed. Tell us what that looks like, Claire, in the museum and the effect that that's having.
It's kind of amazing. So it's actually... It's a two-part piece. So Yoko Ono was famous from the 60s for doing instructions. And the instruction on the wall says, prove your love. And then we have a camera, so it will be documented right then. And then the next day after we print the photographs, it's just a collage of all these people proving their love. And as you might expect, there's a number of people kissing and different things, hugging, and, you know, some unusual takes on that as well. But it feels like a kaleidoscope of humanity. And then in the next room, also part of this piece is another part called Parts of a Lighthouse, which you are in a room of kind of crystals with a light on them that looks like the spray of just beautiful light. So kind of light and love connecting.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know how much you heard, Amanda, about our previous topic. We were talking about the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
And there was this ability, though, political action, however heinous the activities and theology and theory of Klan activity is, you can see some of the same fundamental things, a kind of sacramental notion, an embodiment, a kind of theater. and also a sort of extracting yourself from the mainstream, a sense that our leadership isn't providing, so we will make our own world here. Mm. And so as a human activity, this idea of making sacrament, of making something theatrical and providing what the larger authorities don't seem to be doing has great potential for us if we believe in love and not hate and fear.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think there's a tremendous instinct that we all have for engagement and connection. And if that's not being provided by the sort of social structures that one might expect would provide it, whether they're political or religious, I do think we have an impulse to create them. And maybe what I like so much about the exhibition as it is being realized now in the museum is that the museum really is a public square. It's a place where families and people of difference can engage with one another and participate in these works of art. You know, I credit Claire for selecting artists who literally ask us to, as Felix Gonzalez-Torres does, to help, to take responsibility, to become part of the work, to join in. So I've been watching it in the galleries. It's very moving.
And a different role for the museum, right? I mean, it's not a place anymore where I can go think, contemplate, talk about it this over a cocktail party. I'm really asked to be part of this thing,
yes.
To worry about whether that piece of candy makes me a participant in the death of a lover.
Yes, and to consider the ways in which we all are engaged together in these questions, yeah. I mean, I believe that's what museums should do. So it's watching the museum take on this role of public square, of a place where we're having important discourse and sometimes cocktails and conversations. That's okay, too.
You can have that, too, with your candy. Claire, is there more of this kind of art these days? Is this idea, as you said, there was a time when we felt uncomfortable bringing love into a political conversation. Is it happening more and more as you curated this particular exhibit? Did you find there's lots of it in contemporary art, more so than perhaps before?
I think so. I think it kind of comes in waves. You know, it came in a wave in the 60s, and I think it's coming now. And there are a couple of different shows about love out there now, one that addresses contemporary art in the 80s, another one about love in Africa. But a big part of, I think, our contemporary culture, and obviously with contemporary artists, we're asked to engage. You know, we're co-producing things on the web, whether it's on Facebook or different places. We're all creating a conversation together. So we're so much asked to join in. And
well, I want to hear about another part of this exhibit called First Love that allows people to have a kind of one-on-one session with a sketch artist, describe the appearance of their first love, and then see it rendered. Tell me more about that.
This is fascinating. So Ravonia Neuschwander is a Brazilian artist. And she, her really main topic, you know, love less is for her like an idea, but more like a tool, actually. And so she wants to understand how memory works, how time works, how different things like that. So you sign up for an appointment, and we have found a forensic artist to meet with you for probably about 2 hours, and you describe what this person looks like. And often this is an old memory, right? So you have to look at an FBI kind of identification book, how big is someone's forehead and their ears and their eyes, and kind of maybe even struggle to remember the person. And then you see the picture, and then there it's there. And let me share one story. When I was there the very first day, a woman said, yes, I really want to do this. I had just broken up with her fiance or somewhat recently. And she said, I thought this would be cathartic. Mm. So, and she was kind of looking forward to it. And then she sat down there, and I saw her 2 hours later, and I said, well, how did it go? She goes, it was intense. Mm. Like, it looked exactly like him. It brought back these intense memories. And so you don't even, you maybe go in with one intention and you don't quite know what will come of that. Which I think is what art's about, you know, kind of to bring the unexpected, kind of investigate territory. And
well, it certainly does bring us close up to these tensions in our own perception. We can feel love. We feel a connection to another person. It's palpable. It's real. You try to put it into words. You try to intellectualize it and talk to a forensic artist, and that can be a whole different process than what you felt when you saw that person.
Yes, because most of our memories of loved ones are feelings and less like
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's another very interesting piece, the Lee Walton piece, where we actually have simply the experience. There's no expectation of any particular dialogue or discourse. But every day that the museum is open at 4 p.m., a father and a daughter walk through and see the exhibition together.
This is not only showing up in art, but also in an intellectual discourse. Certainly, bell hooks wrote a book on love, all about love. That was 2001. Michael Hart lately has been talking more and more, the political theorist here at Duke, who, you know, has collaborated with no less a radical figure than Antonio Negri. This is this idea of love is as a political force is making some headway, Claire.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people really feel that they want to kind of talk about how we can come together again. And
I'm sorry for interrupting, but I wonder how much it involves also a kind of extraction from the mainstream. In other words, when Michael Hart talks about it, he talks about multitudes, people getting together, not in opposition to the oppressive force, but let's talk about what it is we want and create what we want over and against those folks who've created their economic and social system.
Well, you know, we live in a culture that in some ways is fragmented. You know, we even over the last 50 years, we've worked on creating something called difference or identity and kind of separating out, I'm different from you. I'm a white woman living here in Buffalo, but that we have our own different stories to tell. And people wanted to separate from the multitude, let's say, in the 60s. And so we create our little idyllics. So how can we kind of have that idyllic but also connect with other people? So I think it's a big part of that. It's more than just separating out in your own little utopia. It's creating a utopia that connects you with others.
I also think one of the interesting things about the catalog that Claire worked on is that it brings many voices together, looking at it differently for this conversation. And that's what we're hoping to see in the museum as well, many voices.
All synthesized through the museum goer, and you can do that through the end of March. The exhibit is called More Love on View at the Ackland through March 31st. Claire Schneider curated the show. Amanda Hughes is Director of External Affairs at the Ackland. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio.